Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Victory Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Welcome in. We've got a lot to get into today. I'm so excited about it. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Also want to shout out our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Matt Peterborg, Fabian1900, Eric Gebhardt, Don Dequisito. Sorry, Don, I know I can always butcher that last name, but Dequisito, and then Daniel Dunker and Go Pack. I appreciate you guys becoming brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, make sure to do so. It is a Victory Monday. The Packers win 38-10. And I think on a weekend, The new Gladiator came out this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. I am so out of touch with all the movie stuff and anything. If I'm wrong on that, my apologies. That's not an ad for Gladiator 2, I promise you. But I think on a weekend where Gladiator came out, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? I saw a little bit of angst and frustration and anxiety from Packers fans of, you know, is this really something that we should be celebrating? I think that's sort of the... I don't want to say issue, but it's just like sort of the feel that you get going into this game is, can anything good happen out of it? You have a skeleton team in the San Francisco 49ers that's not playing good football, that's missing their starting quarterback, their best defensive player, their all-pro Hall of Fame left tackle. They're one of their best wide receivers. They just gave a huge contract to, right? They're one of their better defensive backs. Like, they are beat up. They are not the same team, right? And if you beat them 38-10, it's just like, ho-hum, that's what you were supposed to do. If they would have won by just a little bit, we would have been doing the same thing we did last week of, well, we're not going to apologize for a win, and they still found a way to come up with it. That's important. They can learn their lessons, and, you know, with a slight win, yada, yada. If they lose, the sky's falling, and if they lose big, it just is, everything's just done. Like, all of our lives are over, right? So, like, that's the range of emotions from, like, sort of, like, okay to bad to really bad to brutal. And like, we sort of got like, this is what you kind of expected result. But you know, to me, this is not, again, we don't need to go through the, we're not apologizing for winning. Now we're not going over, we're not apologizing for only winning by 28 points or anything. Are you not entertained? What more could your expectations have possibly been going into this game than a still Kyle Shanahan coached offense, right? That is desperate for a win, that still has players like Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle out on the field, still has playmakers at their disposal. Juwan Jennings has been a problem in the past. And we broke down like all the different things that still makes this team go. Fred Warner is still patrolling the middle of the field at linebacker. Like, it is a imperfect team with all the injuries. I am not stating otherwise, all right? But there are still playmakers out there, and there are still ways that things can go wrong. There will be worse losses that good teams will have throughout the course of this season. There are very much worse losses that Green Bay has suffered in the history of their franchises, dumber losses, right? You still can't take anything for granted. And regardless of what your expectation was going into this game, I, quite frankly, I just don't care. Like, 38-10 is a good result. And it's not like we don't have to caveat this. Like, this was never really in doubt. Did they let them stick around a little bit in the middle of the game when it got to 17-7, San Francisco gets the ball to start the second half, and did they hang around just a little bit until Green Bay got those last two touchdowns to really put it away? Sure, fine, whatever. This game was never close. It was never competitive, and Green Bay really dominated it from beginning to end. Not perfect, but really freaking good. And we are going to celebrate really freaking good. And if you want further proof of that, right? I'm not we don't always just need to hone in on the stats, right? I think we love going through the tape, watching the tape, reviewing the game, seeing what went well, what went wrong, being realist about it. But sometimes the stats tell the story. I mean, Green Bay just won in every facet of this game. How about a 38-10 scoreboard, 38 points on offense, only allowing 10 points on defense? The Packers had 22 first downs. The 49ers only had 11. The Packers ran 67 plays in this game. The 49ers only ran 47. The Packers had 325 yards. The 49ers only had 241. The Packers had 169 rushing yards. The 49ers only had 44. The Packers were 5 of 5 in the red zone, all ending in touchdowns. Green Bay had 5 penalties. The 49ers had 9. The Packers had no turnovers. The 49ers had three. The Packers had 36 minutes and 43 seconds in time of possession. The 49ers only 23 minutes and 17 seconds. The Packers stormed out to a 17-0 lead and only allowed 10 points in the entire game. So basically, once it was 17-0, that was over at that point because San Francisco could only end up amounting to 10 total points in this game, right? And here's the thing, and if you want to point at this and say it's a bad, they still left plays on the field. The Christian Watson touchdown, the drop Quay Walker interception. I thought there were a couple plays where maybe they could have got San Francisco off the field on that touchdown drive that they did have. Like there were a couple other fumbles that they potentially could have recovered. There were still plays out there to be made, and they still won 38-10. Are you not entertained? Like I know that there again is it, you're not set up for success when you're going against a team that's struggling and has a bunch of players injured and you're expected to do this at home. Like, but still, this was a take care of business game. Green Bay took care of business. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They didn't let San Francisco breathe. They all but dashed their playoff hopes with a win in this one. They all but set themselves up for a playoff push moving forward. And basically, barring something catastrophic, should get into the playoffs. Basically, with this win, they're up to a 94% chance to make the playoffs per the New York Times. Not perfect, but really freaking good. And like I said, we are not going to apologize ever for really freaking good. In fact, we are going to celebrate really freaking good. As far as players of the game go, I think you have to shout out the two big free agent signings, right? Once again, I mean, these two have been the staples of the offense and defense, respectively. This offense, let's just be real. This offense runs through Josh Jacobs, all right? We know Jordan Love is the highest paid quarterback and highest paid player in the league before Dak Prescott took that over. We know that he's getting that contract. The passing offense, I still expect to take off at some point in time and really be the consistent piece of this team. But right now, and through this season so far, this offense has been Josh Jacobs, and that continued today. He was phenomenal. And on defense, this defense is Xavier McKinney's. And it's really crazy to think about. And I know that this team hasn't exactly carried over the success at the end of last year and parlayed that yet into some of the overall successes I think we were expecting to see. Again, they're 8-3, so a lot of it they have. But I think we were maybe expecting to maybe see a little bit more consistency and explosions on offense and just, again, carrying some of that over. For a team that made a run to the divisional round probably a year before they were probably even supposed to do that and gave San Francisco everything they could handle in that playoff game, beat Dallas in the wild card round handily, like for all of that, to add two players to this team that are now the kind of unquestioned go-to dudes on both sides of the ball in Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs, that's unbelievable. And it really just goes to show you the type of team that Green Bay has built and Goody has built. And they were already good. And now you added these two absolute stars on both sides of the field. And it's really been fun to watch. And, you know, I know immediately people want to make the Aaron Jones, Josh Jacobs. Like, I loved Aaron Jones. I think Aaron Jones would be fantastic in this offense. I love Josh Jacobs. I think Josh Jacobs is fantastic in this offense. I don't know that we need to say Jones would have been better or Jacobs would have been better. So, like, I don't really care. Like, Jones was phenomenal in this offense last year. Josh Jacobs is phenomenal in this offense this year. Cool. I'm good with that. They got a younger guy. They went out and got somebody that fits extremely well in the locker room, is a leader on offense. And I thought in this particular game, Josh Jacobs ran hard and set the tone early from that very first handoff, like just getting downhill. And that was a great play call. They opened up they really parted the seas along the offensive line to give him that huge hole. And it was, again, it kind of got San Francisco a little bit spread out on the play. And then he has that spin move. And then he just ran ridiculously hard through the entirety of the day and really set the tone from that first drive, not only for him, not only for the offense, but really for the team as a whole of, hey, this is who we are going to be on this day. We are going to run through some faces and I'm going to put this on my back. I got this. And it wasn't some 250-yard day from Josh Jacobs or things like that, but it was a hard-nosed, grinded out, tough performance on a day where the passing offense wasn't great, right? But he still averaged 4 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, was sort of that bell cow back, just really, really great stuff from Josh Jacobs. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I thought really when the game was a little bit in the balance, right? Green Bay's up by 10 and San Francisco's just hanging around, just not quite going away. It's their ball. If they score, it's a one possession game. If they score a touchdown, it's a 3-point game. Just hanging around, Fourth down, Xavier McKinney pass breakup. Then the next drive, San Francisco gets a little bit going. Big interception by Xavier McKinney. Like, Xavier McKinney came up with two of the monster plays in this game to shut out any idea or any opportunity that San Francisco might have had to stick in that game and really make it closer than it probably should have been, right? So coming up with those huge plays, again, a pass breakup on fourth down on Christian McCaffrey, no easy task. And then that interception over the middle of the field, just huge stuff from Xavier McKinney. Seven interceptions already on the season, continues to flash. And I think what you love to see too, right? Last week was the first glimpse that we saw of like, oh, Xavier McKinney can actually be human at times, right? Didn't have his best game last week. All right, how do you bounce back from that? Just has a phenomenal week this week with a huge interception, huge pass breakup when you needed it most. That's just who he is. There is an aura about Xavier McKinney, and there's it with Josh Jacobs as well. But I don't know about you guys, and obviously it's not like I got to spend a ton of time when, you know, he was in New York just watching a bunch of Xavier McKinney tape, but I did go back and watch every single snap of his from 2023 once Green Bay signed him. In my opinion, Xavier McKinney was a really good to borderline great safety in New York. Like, he was really good. But it feels like just the difference in Xavier McKinney this year, and I don't know if it's the fact that, hey, he gets to play for a competitive team now, a team that's fighting for something that has a chance for a Super Bowl rather than that team in New York that has no chance of that seemingly ever. I don't know if it's just that or whatever the case may be. There is an aura around Xavier McKinney where he just has that. I don't know if I want to quite go to like the, you know, Julius Peppers or, you know, Reggie White, Charles Woodson slash, but like, it's in that neighborhood where it's different. You can feel it around him. You almost expect him to come up with a big play when you need it most. And you had that feel with guys like Reggie White and Charles Woodson and those type of players, right? And to me, that's where Xavier McKinney is right now. He's living in that stratosphere of just superstar players and just two massive signings for Green Bay. And those are clearly the two players of the game in this one. All right. Offensive side of the ball are Luigi's Pizza players of the game, which we went over in our a live post-game show as well. Make sure to get your tweets in. Hashtag Luigi's Victory Monday, by the way, as well. We finally made it. It's Thanksgiving week, and that means even more football to digest all throughout this wonderful week. Miami's coming to Green Bay for an epic matchup on Thursday Night Football. And let's just say it, Jordan Love is owed a turkey leg this year. But that's not all we're looking forward to this week. We're also looking forward to another winning week on Prize Picks. And with Prize Picks, you can win up to 100 times your money with as few as 4 correct picks. And right now, when you sign up, you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Now, Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season. Which players are going off, which ones aren't, make your picks in fewer than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. Now, this week, I am going with Tyreek Hill against Green Bay. Yes, you heard me right. I'm going with Tyreek Hill against Green Bay. I'm also going with Tucker Kraft against Miami's defense. Then on Sunday, I'm going with James Cook against San Francisco on Sunday Night Football. And I expect both Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson to put on a show in the Sunday afternoon slot. The best part is there are a ton of options out there for you to choose from. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after your first $5 play. Prize Picks. Run your game. Let's go over the offensive side of the ball. We talked about Josh Jacobs, 26 carries, 106 yards, 3 touchdowns, 4.1 yards per carry, hard yards. The whole team had 42 carries for 169 yards. You know, again, hard-nosed carry. I thought Emmanuel Wilson ran really well in this one. So that was really fun to see. I thought the one he bounced to the outside, picked up, I want to say 18, 19 yards on that one. Just a really solid day from the ground game. Now, the passing game was a little bit disjointed, right? Jordan Love, 13 of 23, 163 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Not the stat line you would expect out of Jordan in a 38-point performance for the offense. Now, a lot of their points were off of turnovers, set up with good field position. Josh Jacobs had 3 rushing touchdowns. I thought this was a solid to good game from Jordan. I didn't think it was bad. I didn't think it was great. I thought a lot of this would have been cleaned up a little bit if you just had, just caught the ball, right? like Josh Jacobs, there was just, I don't even know if I want to call it a drop by Josh Jacobs, but just Jordan and Josh not being on the same page, where Josh, I think, thought he wanted to sit down and Jordan was kind of leading him up the field, thinking that Josh Jacobs was going to kind of continue up the field. And just a little bit of a disconnect there, right? But that's one that could have easily been connected on. And then you had a Romeo Doubs drop. And then you had, of course, the big Christian Watson drop for the touchdown. I mean, just those three, if you get those three completions right, we're probably talking about Jordan being 16 of 23 for about 263 yards and three touchdowns and no interceptions. And that probably feels a lot different. So you just even turn those drops into receptions, and it looks like a really good day from Jordan. Now, his first day without an interception, that which is a nice step, right? It's always interesting to me because like how this stuff sort of works itself out and or gets turned into a different narrative. Like, this is the game, Jordan Love, no interceptions, awesome. Well, the Cardinals game was the one where he played great, didn't really throw any, as far as I can recall at least, no interception, you know, worthy plays, but just had Bo Melton fall down on a play and it ends up in an interception, right? So like, that's one that's not even remotely his fault. It's just a fluky play, but he gets an interception on the day. On this one, there's the throw over the middle to Christian Watson where probably should have been picked. I thought Christian Watson did a great job of coming back to it and breaking it up, but clearly an interception worthy play on that one where it easily could have been picked. So one poor decision from Jordan on this one. I didn't think like there was a play that was kind of behind Doubs that was ricocheted and almost picked off. To me, that's a play that Doubs has to make, and he has struggled with some drops lately. And then I think there was one kind of late in the half after the dropped one by Watson that was kind of thrown into a double coverage where I think Watson wanted the penalty. I know Matt LaFleur wanted the penalty. That's taking a shot at the end of half on a third down, giving your wide receiver an opportunity at the ball. And if it's picked off, you're probably going to pin him down there. It's kind of like a punt anyway. It's really not that big of a deal. So I didn't have a problem with that decision. Just really the one poor decision in this one. And Christian Watson kind of bailed him out on that play. But I will say this. In 2 weeks post-bye, right, you have one interception, which was on a bad throw, and one poor decision. And I think if you told me that, hey, from now on, Jordan's going to make one poor decision every two games, cool. Sign me up. I can live with that. Didn't end up picked off in this one. A little bit of karma for the one that was picked off in Arizona earlier this year. You know, just being able to get that one back a little bit, that's going to happen from time to time. Guys drop interceptions. Ask Quay Walker. We'll talk about that. But overall, I thought this was a solid game from Jordan. I didn't think there was anything else that, I mean, at the two sacks, right? I thought he probably ran himself into those sacks a little bit. Probably could have stayed in the pocket. I think he was trying to maybe make something happen, which is going to happen from time to time. He did lose the ball a couple times. So on one of those, he lost it and was able to recover it. So that was a big play by him. And then on the, I think it was the QB sneak, right, too, kind of lost it for a second and gathered it back. So he does need to be a little bit more cautious when just kind of taking care of that football in general, but not the overall, I think, performance he wanted from the passing attack. But I will say this, like, again, if you just take those drops and turn them into catches, or that even again, the one disconnect with Jacobs a little bit, turn those into catches. And this looks like a much better stat line and performance from the passing attack and Jordan Love as a whole. Romeo Doubs, despite that drop, three catches, 54 yards, all of them converted into first downs. That was a solid performance from him. Unfortunately, goes out with the concussion injury. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Christian Watson, really brutal drop. Really, really brutal drop. You can't throw a ball better than that, than Jordan Love did on that play. Jordan Love had a couple really big, you know, big time throws over the middle of the field to Romeo Doubs, and then a beautiful, perfect deep ball to Christian Watson. And again, that just kind of goes to show you, again, there's some really big time throws from Jordan in this game. Can't drop that play. Can't drop that ball if you're Christian Watson. It's unfortunate for a variety of reasons. One, you know, Christian's hands have actually been great so far this year. And it just happens that he drops one at the worst time, right? Like where you've got a touchdown right there. Sucks. Got to hang with him. I think the other thing is Watson's coming off his best game of the season. And everyone's just kind of been raving about the teammate he's been, the player that he's been, the locker room guy, like setting the tone. And you would have loved just to see that pay off. And really just kind of put the game away right before halftime. Would have been huge. It's a big negative play. Got to come up with that catch. It's unfortunate. And like I said, I wish he would have been able to convert it. He certainly has earned it the way that he has played as of late. He'll bounce back from it. Again, that was one of the very few, I think, if not first or second drops that he's had this season. He's done a great job with his hands overall, but that's one he's got to find a way to corral in and turn that into 7 points. I think the big thing in this one was the offense being 5 for 5 in the red zone with 5 touchdowns. A complete night and day difference from what we saw against Chicago and really what we've seen from this Packers offense in the red zone so far this season. In fact, it was sort of a bizarro game for the Packers offense where inside the 20s, they sort of struggled. Josh Jacobs ran the ball well, but they sort of struggled. We didn't see as many explosive plays. We didn't see the consistency through the passing attack, where usually that's been their bread and butter. Like, they can move the ball, no problem whatsoever, and then they get in the red zone, and it's stall fest. They can't punch it in for 7 points. Today was the opposite, or Sunday was the opposite, right? They couldn't really quite get that momentum going in the middle of the field, but once they got in the red zone, it was like they were supercharged. And part of that is very clearly they've been working on red zone offense. I thought the little screenplay to Tucker Kraft was a beautiful design play, that they were more creative. And then you just run the ball when you're able to move some defenders off the ball. And I like the idea of getting Kadeem Telford in there as a sixth offensive lineman and allowing him to kind of maul some people. I just like that mentality a little bit more. It was very clear they ran the ball in the red zone with intentionality, and I loved it. I loved it. 5 for 5, big time performance in the red zone. And I think that's a huge step for this offense. Hopefully they can continue that moving forward. Not quite there. You want to see that overall consistency. I'm still excited because, again, we've seen this team move the ball inside the 20s all season long, and it's been red zone that's been the failure. Well, now we saw the red zone clicking. Now, put both those two pieces together. All season long, we've seen the inside the 20s. Now today we saw the red zone. Now all you have to do is just smush those together. Smush them together and get the awesome play inside the 20s and the red zone production and Brandon McManus continuing to make field goals. You're looking at a lot of 30-point games moving forward, maybe even more than that, if they can all of a sudden cram those two things together. So good signs, still not quite there. Still need to put a few of those pieces still together, but I think positives to take away from the offense in this one when it at least comes to the red zone offense. Defensively, lots to be pleased about. Only 10 points allowed, 3 turnovers. Xavier McKinney coming up with huge plays again. LVN forces a fumble. Keyshawn Nixon forces a fumble. We'll talk about Quay Walker in just a moment. But I thought overall, the defensive play was much, much better. You only allowed the one long touchdown drive. Christian McCaffrey, 11 carries, 31 yards. Debo Samuel, only 1 catch for 21 yards. Couple plays by George Kittle. Man, tip your cap. That dude's a beast. Like, he came up with a couple big plays. That's going to happen from time to time. But overall, I thought the defense really performed well. Now, I haven't had the opportunity to go watch the All-22, watch the condensed version of the game. Obviously saw it live. I thought there were a couple plays that Quay could have made, the interception clearly one of those. But overall, first glance, I thought this was a more attacking, downhill, impressive Quay Walker than we've seen in a while. Very excited about that. And some guys that have been sort of on the, I don't know how I'm feeling. Thought Quay Walker stepped up, LVN sack fumble, right? And then Keyshawn Nixon forcing that fumble. Some guys that have been a little bit maybe maligned as of late, I thought stepped up huge in this game. You love to see that. Hopefully those are stepping stones for those guys. But I thought Quay in general, attacking downhill, getting in the backfield, tackles for loss. I know on the sack, he sort of dives in, gets pushed out of the side, is laying on the ground, and then kind of gets up eventually and kind of cleans up the play at the end. But just seeing him a little bit more active, seeing him a little bit more downhill. Thought Green Bay had a good plan for him. With Edgerrin Cooper out, they really needed their linebackers to step up. I thought Quay Walker did that in this game. I'm really, really excited to watch the All-22 on Quay Walker in this one. And hopefully, like I said, a stepping stone to his success moving forward. I'm hopeful. Just like last week, I was hopeful maybe it looked brutal at first glance, but maybe it's going to be a little bit better. And it was a little bit better. Like this week, I'm just hoping that what I saw in real time, it looks as good as I was expecting, or maybe even better than what I was expecting. But I thought at first glance, Quay Walker, really nice day. And overall, again, outside of the one drive right before half that you'd love to have back. I mean, even the field goal that they allowed, I mean, they forced a young kicker into a 48-yarder, right? Which is very makeable. I'm not saying it was like a 58-yarder or anything like that, but still, it wasn't like they gave up a chip shot or, allowed them to get inside the 20 in that drive. Thought overall, very nice day from the defense. From a special team standpoint, just continues to be really solid. The one play that really could have potentially turned this game on its head, I will say, is that Debo Samuel kick return to start the second half. There was a holding on it. The hold did definitely help the 49ers on the play, but had that gone almost to the house, I think they would have been down at the 10-yard line. I mean, you're looking at a 10-point game and the 49ers having it basically first and goal from the 10 after that kick return. That could have been a bit more catastrophic, but again, the holding penalty was legitimate and it did certainly help the return on that one. But outside of that, forced a fumble on special teams. They didn't recover it, but they forced it. Solid returns from Jaden Reed, one in particular. Daniel Whelan had another strong day punting. Thought the coverage units were really good. And Brandon McManus hitting a 51-yard field goal. I mean, just slowly but surely, very quietly, special teams being a little bit more reliable, which is really nice to see. Right now that you have a kicker that goes out there and you feel pretty comfortable with. You have a punter that you feel great about. You don't feel like all of a sudden like you have to like cover your eyes every single time the special teams is out on the field. You kind of feel like they're going to do their job. And my goodness, have we been waiting for that for just about forever. So a couple back-to-back really nice games for the special teams. Now, what about concerns? There were still some things that Green Bay needs to clean up in this one. We can still be realistic. I don't even want to stress on these all that much because, again, I thought Green Bay played a really good game overall. We talked about the offense. Not quite there, right? You wanted to see the offense, specifically the passing offense, be a bit more efficient. They weren't. We still saw those drops rear their ugly heads, and that's something that got to get cleaned up. Green Bay had 5 penalties and some dumb ones, right? Like 2 defensive players just lined up in the neutral zone. Like both LVN and Kingsley Nagbare just, and it was very clear as day. Like they are in the neutral zone. I mean, LVN's was well past. So like, that's stupid. Like, I think there was a false start penalty. Kenny Clark jumped into the neutral zone. So still some of that can get cleaned up. We're still seeing Green Bay make some of those mistakes, and you got to make sure that those aren't happening because it may not hurt you against a bad 49ers team. That stuff will hurt a lot more against Miami and Detroit and Minnesota coming up in the next few weeks. So you'd like to see those things get cleaned up. Thought they did let San Francisco kind of hang around in the middle of that game a little bit. You would have liked to have seen Green Bay slam the door shut. I think the Christian Watson touchdown would have gone a long way in doing that a little bit sooner. Instead, they let them hang around again because of one of their own self-inflicted mistakes. Thought the pass rush showed signs of life. Could still use a little bit more, but I think every team's probably saying that to some extent. But overall, I think there were some signs there. Rashawn Gary, LVN, and Igbari just missed a sack again. He might lead the league in missed sacks, but some signs there, which is a positive. Still some things you'd like to do better. But listen, while there are things that you can clean up from this game and continue to work on, 38-10, I'm good with that. I'm very, very good with that. I'm excited about the way overall Green Bay played in this game. And again, just took care of business. One thing I'll add on top of this, and it's just worth saying because I do think we have to be realistic about what you can take away from this game. I thought the 49ers were pretty atrocious in this game. I thought they were lacking the focus and attention to detail. It's about as bad as I've seen a Kyle Shanahan team, I think, just kind of play. And I'm not talking about Brandon Allen and backup quarterback or things like that. I'm talking about multiple special teams penalties, some procedural penalties, too many men on the field twice on defense. Just some really rare mistakes, a lot of fumbles. It just looked like the team was not all the way there, all the way focused. And I don't know if we want to, you know, I don't know if we need to litigate the reality of a Super Bowl hangover when you lose. This is a team that's played a lot of games over the last 3 years that has come this close to winning a Super Bowl and hasn't been able to get the job done. And I think there has to be a level. And then you add in like just a bazillion injuries on top of that. And I think this team is just a little bit, I think their legs are kind of gone. I think they are just kind of lacking that motivation right now. There just seems to be a malaise about this team. Did not think that that was a very good team that was on the field against the Packers. Packers took care of business. They did what they needed to do, but I did not think that was an overall impressive performance in any way from the San Francisco 49ers in this one. All right, what else do we want to talk about here? Injuries, as far as we know, Romeo Doubs is kind of the only one. Josh Jacobs went out for a little bit with cramping, but he came back. Romeo Doubs did have the concussion. It was a confirmed concussion. It's a short week going against the Dolphins on Thursday. Just based on that injury, again, not a doctor, not pretending to be, don't want to speculate too much, but I think the overall thought would probably be probably not going to be able to go on Thursday, right? I'll be pleasantly surprised if I'm wrong about that and if he can somehow find a way to play. But I think just based on that injury, short week, they'll probably give him the week off and then allow him to get ready for Detroit the following week. But they'll definitely miss Romeo Doubs in this one. But if there is one position where they have the depth to absorb an injury like that, still having Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Dontayvion Wicks, Bo Melton, Malik Heath, Those are good players to have when you're missing one of your key wide receivers. But his loss will be felt against Miami on Thursday if that does end up being the case. Some miscellaneous notes from this game. Jacob Monk was actually the inactive Packer in this one. Travis Glover gets activated, and Jacob Monk not activated. So that was a little bit interesting. Katano Ladapo was the only other healthy scratch. Jair Alexander and Edrin Cooper, the two unhealthy scratches, if you will. Now, I don't know if something flared up with Jacob Monk or if this was just a decision that they made. I'm not entirely sure. It's an interesting decision. It definitely leaves them with more tackles on game day than interior offensive linemen. But if I had to guess and just sort of seen how they've kind of gone about some of these inactives on the offensive line. We've seen Dillard be inactive. We've seen Monk be inactive. We've seen Glover be inactive. We've seen Telfort be inactive, right? We've seen differences on that. It would not surprise me if this was like a weekly thing of like, hey, whatever three of those players have the best week in practice, we don't care who it is, whichever three have the best week in practice, those are the three that are going to get active on game day. All right, cool. Do it that way. I'm cool. I'm awesome with that. Like, that's totally fine. So I don't know if that's the case. I don't know that for sure, but it wouldn't shock me if that was the case, just based on we've seen sort of different players inactive along the line kind of every single week. But Glover gets activated in this one, and Jacob Monk was the one who was not active. We got to see some of the backups later in this game, which will be fun to kind of go back and look at those and see if anyone stood out in that very minimal playing time towards the end of the game. Loved what we saw from Malik Heath late in the game, the catch to the right, and then, of course, the red zone fade as well. So great to see him getting a little bit more back in the action, and he's still a good possession receiver. And we might need to see him a little bit more next week with Romeo Doubs potentially being out against the Dolphins. And then lastly, from a miscellaneous standpoint, Eric Stokes was back rotating with Carrington Valentine. Don't entirely know why. I thought Valentine played well enough the week before to just kind of earn that job. Valentine got 30 snaps in this game. Eric Stokes got 26. Green Bay just cannot quit themselves on Eric Stokes. They keep giving him chances. We'll see if he pays it off. Didn't think there was anything noteworthy one way or the other at first glance, but we'll see what the tape says this week. Packers moved to 8-3 on the season. They've won 6 of their last 7. I actually was kind of surprised when I heard that number. I'm like, oh, I guess they have. They've won 6 of 7. 6-1 in their last 7 games. Only loss was to Detroit. It's not bad. It's not bad. They've been playing better football. It's not quite there yet. Still work to be done. But if you're 8-3 and 1-6 of your last 7, you're certainly doing things right, especially with the competitiveness that is all throughout the NFL right now. Other results in week 12, the Vikings beat the Bears in overtime in a little bit of a crazy game. Bears big comeback win at the end, an onside kick recovery. But even still, Vikings find a way to win in overtime. Unfortunate, we kind of were Bears fans for a little bit on Sunday. Bears getting a win hurts the Bears draft pick. It maybe allows them to have the conversation of, hey, we should keep Matt Eberflus. And of course, it hurts the Vikings in their playoff seeding. But Minnesota pulls off the win. Lions didn't have a ton of trouble with the Colts. It wasn't this huge 42-0 blowout or anything like that. I think it was like 21-6, but still a relatively easy win for them. Buccaneers beat the Giants to keep their playoff hopes alive. Cowboys beat the Commanders, which helps Green Bay because the Cowboys are really out of it. The Commanders in that wild card spot, so they continue to be a step below Green Bay. Seahawks beat the Cardinals. That bumps the Seahawks into the NFC West lead and bumps the Cardinals out of the playoffs for the moment. And the Eagles beat the Rams on Sunday Night Football. Eagles continue to churn along. Saquon Barkley looks phenomenal, and the Rams' playoff hopes take a hit with that loss. As of right now for Green Bay, the New York Times playoff simulator has the Packers as a 94% chance to make the playoffs. Here's what happens with the rest of the season, depending on how many wins they get. Per the New York Times playoff simulator, I played with it a little bit tonight. If they don't win any games the rest of the season, their odds of making the playoffs are less than 1% per the New York Times playoff simulator. So no wins, less than 1% chance. If they get one win, their odds of going to the playoffs are somewhere between 18 and 34%, depending on who they beat. Per the simulator, it was best if they beat the Seahawks, which would give them a 34% chance to make the playoffs. So if they just won one game, and it was the Seahawks, they're about in 1 in 3 chance to make the playoffs. If they beat anyone else, it's a little less than about a 1 in 5 chance to make the playoffs. If they get 2 wins, they are between an 80 and 91% chance to make the playoffs with 2 wins. If they go 2 and 4 the remainder of the way, with their best case scenario, it would be if they beat both the Seahawks and the Saints, that would put them at that 91% mark to make the playoffs with just 2 wins. If they get anywhere from 3 to 5 wins, they're at 99% chance or better. And if they get 6 wins, they have a 100% chance to make the playoffs. So really that magic number in a real way is 3. Get to 3 wins, go 3-3 the remainder of this year, and you should pretty easily make the playoffs at that point. Speaking of those playoff standings, the Lions are currently number one in the NFC with a 10-1 record. The Eagles are 2 with a 9-2 record. Seahawks 3 with 6-5 record. Falcons at 6-5 would be the 4 seed. Vikings at 9-2 would be the 5. Packers at 8-3 would be the 6. Commanders at 7-5 would be the 7. And then the next team out would be the Cardinals at 6-5, the Bucks at 5-6, the Rams at 5-6, and the 49ers at 5-6. Noteworthy here, right? The Commanders are the 7th seed, and then everyone else, the Cardinals, Bucks, Rams, and 49ers are all that next step out, right? The Packers, the only one that they are close to, right? Packers are 8-3, Cardinals are 6-5. Packers have a 2-game lead on the Cardinals and hold the tiebreaker against the Cardinals because they beat them earlier this season. So they really have a 3-game lead on that final wild card spot, which is a great place to be in with 6 games left. They also, at 5-6, have wins over the Rams and the 49ers, giving them the tiebreaker with those two teams as well, basically giving them a 4-game lead on them. The only ones that they wouldn't have there are the Buccaneers at 5-6, and they have not beaten Tampa, so that changes that tiebreaker there. But overall, you feel really good where Green Bay's at from a getting into the playoff standpoint. If the season were to end today, the Lions would have the bye, the Commanders would go to Philly, the Packers would go to Seattle, and the Vikings would go to Atlanta. Packers probably looking at a pathway in that scenario that would get them to the number 3 Seahawks, the number 1 Lions, and then the number 2 Eagles in all likelihood if they were to, if things were to go chalk with the playoff seedings and they were to get the win over the Seahawks. So, again, right now, Lions, Eagles, Seahawks, Falcons, Vikings, Packers, and Commanders, the 7 teams from the NFC, in the playoffs. Packers, Dolphins, Thursday night football, Thanksgiving night at Lambeau Field should be epic. The Dolphins are playing great football. They absolutely demolished the Patriots. They've had some easier opponents, let's be real. So is Green Bay. So I think this is going to be a really fun test this upcoming Thursday. Tua has been on fire since coming back from injury. Now, this is also a Dolphins team that has struggled in the cold in the Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa era. So we'll see what kind of wins out there. Packers opened as 3.5-point favorites. By the end of the night, that was down to 3-point favorites, but Green Bay still favored in this one. I am really looking forward to it. It should be a blast of a game, and we'll break it down, of course, this week with Justice and Paul Brettle, and before you know it, it's going to be your pregame show on Thursday on Thanksgiving, which should make it a ton of fun. All right, that's my recap on this one. 38-10 win. Love the game. Love the game plan. Like to see a little bit more from the passing offense in between the 20s in this one. We don't need to pick any nits. This is a really quality win in the way that they played. The opponent was not great in this one, but they took care of business. That's all you can ask for. They, to me, met or exceeded expectations with a 38-10 win. That's all I'd be looking for in this one. Now, it's on to Miami. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mo Sada, Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, SoCal Pack, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, and Dan Guestford. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go!